Welcome to a mini-series of podcast shows we're doing called Rhymes with Lansing, a companion podcast project of Inspired Media, bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series being recorded at The Works in downtown Lansing, Iowa. Start planning your trip, lansingiowa.com. On this episode, I am excited to have two people, one that I've known a little better than the other over the years. Nick and Melissa Hommel, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Nick, people might most easily recognize you guys or your name or your face from being at the Safe House Saloon in downtown Lansing. Is that accurate, maybe?
Yes.
That's how I got to know you, at least, I should say. So that's, Melissa, I apologize. I should probably be getting what hair I have left cut in Lansing, but I'm just trying to hang on to what I got right now. Nick and Melissa, you are both from the area.
Correct.
Grew up in the region, right? And have a lifetime of experience here in Northeast Iowa and Lansing, Iowa, right?
Yep. I went to school here at Key High. Born and raised. My family's all from here. Melissa?
I grew up in Harpers Ferry mostly, but yeah. My family kind of moved in the tri-state area. Went to high school in the Crescent, but went to elementary school in New Albany, so I'm just kind of ping-ponged all over the place.
Covered the bases here along the river. I love
well-rounded.
It.
Well-rounded.
I love it. You guys, obviously, when did you meet each other in life? What part of life would you meet each other in?
Originally, we met in second grade.
Love that.
Missy went to school in New Albany through second grade?
Yeah, first and second grade.
And then moved?
Moved away, came back. Started working at Clancy's when Clancy's was still here.
Oh, yeah,
I was cooking at Clancy's at the time, and she started waiting tables. And
walked in the door and blew him away.
There you go, right?
Oh, my gosh. Correct.
I love it. Clancy's, for people who didn't know, was one of the old classic supper club kind of joints, right? Mm-hmm. That was here in Lansing for many decades.
For a long time.
Yeah, fun memories there. Fun stuff. So, I mean, currently you guys have been... when did you land in Lansing together then?
Well, we started dating in high school, and then I went to Iowa State. And Melissa?
I was going to Kirkwood in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
So we kind of made that long distance work for a little while, and then...
Yeah, got my associate's degree, got my cosmetology license.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So you guys have been, you know, both independent careers here, but also following some tracks throughout life, lifelong opportunities, right? And you
absolutely.
Both now are independent small business owners in Lansing, Iowa, right?
Absolutely.
And have been for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. We when I graduated Iowa State with an engineering degree, and I was in industry for like 3 years, and I really hated it. I mean, really hated it. And Missy's parents had purchased the Safe House in that time frame, and
we had just had our daughter, and we wanted to get closer to family.
Yeah.
And so
it's a big story. Marianne and I were talking earlier on the show we did with her, and just talking about that a lot of people don't always understand, or I think a lot of people are kind of reassessing the, like, what it looks like to raise a family and where to raise a family and what that looks like. And man, small town,
oh, absolutely.
Rural Midwest is a pretty great place to raise a family, right? At times.
Yeah. We've been well supported by this community.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Our kids and ourselves, for sure.
I love that. So let's break it apart a little bit. Two different businesses, two different lives connected here, but both on Main Street. Melissa, let's start with your business, Simply Salon, right?
Yes.
So you've had your own salon now for several years.
Yeah.
And what did that look like to start a salon in small town Iowa, right? You probably had the social connections already on some level, right?
Yeah, it helped to have the saloon first because I was able to kind of snake some clients through that, friends and family and all that, of course. Started in the basement of my house. Moved up to the saloon. I've had my own salon for probably 12 years now.
Yeah, somewhere in that
something
range.
Like that.
Love that. And to be clear, your salon's not in a saloon. Otherwise, I mean, that's a whole other business model that I do feel like could be marketable. But
I did think about naming it Safe House Salon, but thought it maybe would get a little confusing. So
she does have a couple clients that will stop down and buy a drink to go before they go upstairs to get their hair done.
It's an extended waiting room.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Love that idea.
Works well.
Oh my goodness. So you're right above the Safe House Saloon, right?
Yes.
I love that. And so Nick, the Safe House Saloon right on Main Street, downtown Lansing, is a really neat spot for people. If you're driving through town, honestly, it could be easy to miss on the unopened door, on the unopened hours, because the door literally looks like a safe door, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is not easy to miss. But it looked like my locked up tight. It's actually a really unique spot. Will you tell me about the theme? Tell me about, because it's such a unique, really interesting spot.
So when the building got remodeled, it was two owners before us. They own, you know, what is now the Buck Stops here and the Safe House Saloon. We're all one. It's all one building. It was all one business. Tom Lawan had it when it was originally called TJ Hunters, and when he had it, he split up the property into two pieces, sold the TJ Hunter side, and then he came over and he built this 1920s speakeasy-themed bar in what is now the Safe House. When we took it over, there was a lot more antiques in it than there are now. I mean, it was almost close to a museum level of knickknacks and stuff in there. And we, over the years, got rid of some of that stuff because, you know, being a business, stuff would get played with. And we kept enough to retain that ambiance that Tom was going for when he started it, and just kind of added our own personal touch to it with the craft beer.
Yeah.
And
if people don't know what we're talking about, so if you walk in, it looks like a safe door from the outside. You
and
walk
actually
inside.
That door, I'm told, came from the original bank in town, which,
oh my gosh,
which if you go to the four-way stop and you look up to the right above Red Geranium there, it says bank on it. That's where I was told the door comes from. I cannot confirm or deny that, but that is the information we were given.
I love that. It's a really cool entry, but then you walk in and it's a lot of woodwork, kind of red velvet, right? Some really unique, cozy booths, really nice bar top, which I think was a project of yours, probably.
Yeah, it was Missy's idea.
Nice.
Oh, you're finally giving me credit for it.
Well, I figured I'd better. This is on record, so. No, the bar top that was there was getting kind of dingy when we had bought it. It was never sealed, so it was really
well-worn. Right?
Yes, it was well-worn, and we just decided we needed to give it a little facelift, and Missy thought, since we were getting into craft beer at the time, that we would do it in craft beer bottle tops.
Love it.
We spent about a year collecting bottle caps to redo the
Now that's
bar
a, there's a tough job.
Right.
And there's names of some important people written on some of those bottle caps in the bar too, so you can kind of scope it out and see what names you find on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I gotta do a little more research apparently at the Safe House. Let's back it out a second and talk about craft beer. Were both of you into craft beer? Like, at what point did you find that world?
I think I was probably into craft beer more than Melissa. Melissa, I kind of drug her into it, but she, along the ride, I think, appreciates the whole spectrum as well. You know, honestly, it was just my own curiosity linked with the fact that we were starting this business right about the time the craft beer boom was happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way it got started is I just started bringing in all this stuff that I thought was interesting from the suppliers that I had.
Totally.
And I was like, you know, just learning with everybody else. Because at the time, craft beer was just, right now it's everywhere, but, 15 years ago, it was in its infancy.
Yeah. We started Inspired about 17 years ago, and I have done the majority of our distribution over the years. So we were laughing earlier. For some reason, in the loops I do, I used to figure out how to get through Lansing maybe about 5 o'clock, and I could often make a last stop at the Safe House before I headed back up the hill towards home. And for whatever reason, my route in more recent years gets me through in the middle of the day. I gotta reconsider what I've been doing here. But what I'll say is you caught my eye immediately back in that, you know, again, 15 years ago, right?
Somewhere in that range.
And in that you were finding amazing beers that nobody else had in this area, right?
It was interesting to me. And as I learned about it, I brought it to my business. I mean, we got in with Toppling Goliath when they were still running beer around in an old van.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm probably one of the first adopters of TG outside of the Decorah metro area there. Yeah. And once we hit kind of a plateau or hit a brick wall with what new we could bring in, we went out and looked some more, looked harder, found a really great connection with Frederick Boudwani down at Abunawa's. Him and his husband, Brian, great people.
Yeah.
They've so helped us bring in things that we would never have seen in this area.
Sure.
Without their portfolio of great beers.
In fact, I was eyeing your beer menu earlier. I don't know if it's up to date or not from just earlier today.
Pretty close.
I noticed a couple Jolly Pumpkin things on the list. Yep. You're still carrying beers that you just don't really see on tap in this area. Really unique stuff.
You know, and that's the cool thing with partnering with Abunawa's is they have a lot of trendy stuff, but then they also have, they just carry what their taste is.
Sure.
And they have great taste.
Yeah.
So you just get access to all these things that, you know, if you don't go out and look for it, you can't find it.
I love it. My wife would want to remind me at this moment that this podcast is not about craft beer. I digress. It is about craft beer, though, because the Safe House in downtown Lansing, thesafehousesaloon.com, is where people can find out more, right?
Yes.
You guys also serve excellent food, homemade pizzas, wings, all sorts of good stuff. Melissa, in the same respect, you've had your salon above the saloon now for many years. You guys are both running businesses in a town of less than 1,000 people. What does that look like on a main street? I mean, what do you know, how does that work for you in terms of either of you, but just in terms of like the number of customers you have? Where are they coming from? The service that you're providing a small town, right? Talk about that a little bit if you want to.
I have a lot of clients that come from Wisconsin and the surrounding area. This town just seems to be full of people, full of traffic.
Yeah.
I think that benefits both of our businesses.
When we came back in 2008, right after the crash. And Main Street was a little thin at the time. I don't remember exactly, but there was quite a few empty storefronts. The economic feeling in not just Lansing and rural areas, but the whole country was kind of bleak.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I would say between that point and now, in my opinion, Lansing has done nothing but grow in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. And in general, the energy in town is really good. You know, when I first got back here, it was very competitive nature in the bar and restaurant industry in this town, and we've gotten to a place where I think where we all really work well together and try to uplift each other and work more as a community unit.
Well, it's something else that's unique. Now, Melissa, your business is probably not as susceptible to this, but I mean, obviously Lansing is very much a tourist town in the summertime. I mean, tourism traffic really ramps up. I have no idea what, you know, population that looks like, but, you know, certainly a certain number of seasonal homes, but also people who just want to come here or are on the river and stop in Lansing, right? Or going up and down the river, any of those things. But, you know, so the difference of, you know, what a summertime looks like in traffic and numbers and all those things is probably pretty different than, say, midwinter in January, right?
Absolutely.
It is. Again, in the 15 years we've been in business, though, every winter has seemed shorter. Mm-hmm. And every winter has seemed busier as far as things go. But yes, once you hit past mid-April, the traffic through town doubles or triples even.
Yeah.
And you can really, really tell the difference.
Yeah, it's amazing. My guests on this current episode of Rhymes with Lansing, Nick and Melissa Hommel, owners, small business owners in downtown Lansing, Iowa, the safehousesaloon.com, also Simply Salon, which you can find on Facebook. We're going to come back here in just a second and talk a little bit more with Nick and Melissa. Thanks for taking time out of your day to be here. And talk a little bit more on Rhymes with Lansing. We'll be right back.
Rhymes with Lansing is being made possible by the generous support of the L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. To find out more about Lansing, Iowa, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, visit lansingiowa.com. Rhymes With is a companion project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.
Love that line, where Main Street meets the Mississippi. Boy, that's a fun one. It's one of the unique parts about Lansing, I think, right?
I think that came from Mary Palmberg, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a smart one.
Love that. Love that. Melissa, a unique little piece of history. Not only are you guys Main Street business owners in downtown Lansing, you've also served as the Lansing mayor.
Yes, I did.
How did that happen?
Tell us more about it. We were needing someone to finish out a term, and there was about 2.5 years left of a term that one of our former mayors had stepped down from. And I saw an opportunity to do my part as a business owner, as a community member, as a person who could grow from that experience as well.
Sure.
And I definitely did. Yeah. Learned a lot of things.
You didn't have anything else going on at the time,
no,
right?
I mean, not at all. I had a lot of free time, you know.
Business to run.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story of a small town, though, right?
Yeah. You know, we have our oldest kid, Izzy, really puts themselves out there all the time.
Yeah.
And Izzy was definitely an inspiration for me to step out of my comfort zone as well.
Nice.
So I did that, and it was a great experience.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
Public service is a thankless job, no matter what, right? I think public servants in general, just that's kind of part of what is part of the task, right?
Right.
But it's really amazing. And I think especially in small towns, you know, something that happens no matter what. I mean, Nick, you've also been involved in your volunteer fire department, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
How long have you been on the fire department? I was curious to ask about.
We've been in business. We're in our 16th year at the bar, so I'm thinking I'm in my 14th or 15th year on the fire department.
It's
been about 8 years as an officer. I believe 6 of them I was the training officer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, but those are the opportunities, right, that you can also find in a small town.
Absolutely.
They're not just tasks that you get, you know, end up having to do or get thrown into, but they're things you actually get to contribute back to your community, right?
And very fulfilling.
Yeah, yeah. You guys don't have any fun, do you, along the way?
No. It's all
probably, no play.
Probably more fun than the city government angle, huh?
Yeah, probably.
I always laugh. I spent 10 years on planning and zoning decorum. I'm currently in a term now on Park Rec. And there are days where, you know, you ask yourself why you've said yes to one more board. But then you stop and look at it. And, you know, I always like to say that, you know, 90% of local politics, and I don't mean right or left politics, I just mean 90% of local politics in a town is someone showing up.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Literally anyone.
Yes.
And it's really important that people are willing to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Other ways you guys are involved in the community or things you picked up on over time or that you've gotten pulled into through your businesses, things like that?
I'm on the Main Street Lansing board.
Yeah.
I've been involved with them off and on since we moved back here.
Another huge task, and I was talking with Marianne earlier, an incredible resource for towns, right? The Main Streets framework is something that exists kind of on a national level, but, you know, not every town has that structure. And so it's a really interesting set of tools that you can use, right, to better your community, essentially.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Main Street Lansing has been wonderful, and we've really grown as a board and have grown in our volunteer groups. And I've done a lot of really big things in the last few years, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And so many cool pieces of, you know, just what you can do in a community and what you can bring to a community and just having a committed group of people moving things ahead, right?
Yeah.
Love that. A couple other questions I had for you guys. So you guys are raising a family in Lansing as well, right? Both grew up in the area, so you kind of know the schools, you know the district, you know kind of some of that stuff. What is it like to raise a family in small town Iowa, right? Like, what are the advantages?
Everybody knows your kid. But that's a good thing.
As parents, we'll call them advantages.
But you know when your kid's walking down the street to go to the grocery store or the gas station to get something that they're going to walk by 12, 15, 20 people, and every single one of them, those people they walk by, are going to care about what happens to your kid.
Right.
Their eyes on your children when you're not there, and they all know their names. You know, it's very reassuring,
yeah,
to kind of have that raised by a village feel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we just see the support of the community all the time. The school is heavily supported by the community.
Yeah.
You see a lot of people that show up for the school concerts, for the sporting events.
Huge part of the community.
Every time any kid is involved in anything, you know, with Izzy, Izzy has done a lot of artwork through the years, and we have seen an outpouring of support from people buying their artwork, from people talking about, you know, their art. It's just
love that.
It's amazing how people show up for each other, show up for each other's families.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the small town things that you don't really see, you know, when you get the anonymity of maybe a larger community.
There's something to that about being in an actual community, right? And I think that's something that across the country people have looked at more and more of trying to find, and particularly maybe pandemic years and coming out of that time of looking at where you live and what you do and who's, you know, who does know who your kid is, who right. knows who your kid is at school. And if you go to a school district that is a little smaller, like, you know everybody. But my wife, Erin, went to school in Postville and loves to describe it as like also having the opportunity to try everything if you yeah. want, you know, which is a cool opportunity as a young person in a rural area, at least. Even if you don't stick around, which hopefully, you know, you get a little taste of that, those roots come back someday, right?
Right.
And pull you back in a little bit.
Yeah. You appreciate it as a parent. You know, when you get a little restless as a teenager, you're kind of ready to spread your wings and try something else. And mm-hmm. I think once you have children, you're kind of looking for that comfort of maybe the smaller town sometimes.
Yeah, I love those ideas. Okay, let's turn a corner a little bit. Favorite seasons in Lansing? I want to give you both a mm-hmm. chance to answer the question. It might be obvious for me, but, you know, summertime in Lansing is easy to talk about. What are your guys' favorites in this part of the world?
For me, it's spring, then fall. I love summer. We make money in the summer, but I'm busy in the summer and it's work. Winter is, this year wasn't bad, but usually yeah. winter's pretty hibernate-y.
Yeah.
I like to go walk through the woods and forage, pick mushrooms and do wild foraging and stuff. It's kind of a novice hobby
love that.
Of mine. So spring is definitely my favorite time of the year, but then also fall with hunting. And yeah. there's a whole other slew of things you can go forage for in the fall, and it kind of fall for me marks the end of the busy season. It's not slow yet, but you're kind of getting through that marathon. So
absolutely. What are your favorite mushrooms to forage for?
Morels, obviously.
Yeah.
The golden oysters, you can find them all summer long. So that's kind of nice. In the fall, I like the hen of the woods. But yeah, pretty much anything you can find out there that's edible. I mean, I still get pheasant backs and the regular white oyster mushrooms. And
love that. Just so happens that Allamakee County is pretty rich in public lands that are available for foraging as well, right?
Yeah, we're very, very fortunate. I mean, we have thousands of acres available to us to just use.
Love that. So much fun. Melissa, how about you?
Wonderful trail system, too, that is all mapped out and
oh yeah,
taken really good care of.
The trail system
on
Mount Hosmer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, love
it's excellent.
That.
I love fall. Like, fall's my favorite time of year, and it's so beautiful around here. The bluffs are all beautiful colors. You can still take a boat out on the river, and going down the river when the bluffs are all colorful like that is amazing. Hiking through the woods in the fall. I also like it when we're getting to that slow down time. I'm kind of a hermit, so I appreciate the quietness of that time of year. But it's, yeah, that's by far my favorite time.
Do you guys spend a lot of time on the river? Do you get a chance to get out on the river much?
Not as much as we would like.
Yeah.
It's we're neat. So busy.
I was telling Marianne earlier, I was really lucky as a kid. I had a family and a grandpa who loved to come down on the river and drag me out and take me out to all sorts of little backwater spots and neat stuff. Fun. But there's a lot of corners to explore around this area, right? So if you have a perfect day, let's say you got a day off magically. I know that doesn't exist for you, Nick. Or either of you in running a restaurant. But let's say you have a magic day off. What does that look for you in Lansing or Allamakee County here?
Well, like I was saying, you know, about the spring here coming up, we're not quite busy yet. I mean, we're getting there. But in 2-3 weeks, all the morels, the nettles, all those things are going to start popping. So if I don't have any obligations for the day, I get up and take my dog out, you know, about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, just go walk through the woods, you know, pick some things to eat that night and
love that.
Come back home mid morning, have some coffee and do it again in the afternoon.
What's your dog and what's their name?
Elfie. His name's Sir Alfred, but he's never called Sir Alfred. We call him Elfie. That was his name when we got him.
Love it.
Missy says he's a Sprawly, which is apparently a Springer Spaniel Collie mix.
This so sounds lots like of, a very fun dog.
Lots of energy, very smart, yes.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
To keep your family herded?
Yeah.
Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
Melissa, the perfect day off.
Oh, if I could have a day off, it would be probably sitting outside when it's like 65 degrees, mm-hmm. grilling, or sitting by a bonfire at night, or sending the kids with Nick to hike through the woods, and I can sit outside and drink coffee by myself.
There you go. Now you're talking, right?
But the river is always wonderful, too. If you can spend a full day out on the river, you know, on a sandbar, that's a great way to spend the day.
That's a hoot. Absolutely. And I would throw in, if you've got a spare day that you're spending in Lansing, of course, that a great way to wrap up the day is hitting the Safe House Saloon. Maybe have a couple of different small pours of craft beer if you're making your way on from Lansing. But if you're staying for the weekend, which you should, then you can really dive into the list. Get a couple pizzas, hang out, right? See what's going on. I love it. Nick and Melissa Hommel, thank you for taking time out of your day to be here, to talk to us a little bit, for telling us about what it's like to have small businesses on Main Street, Lansing, right downtown, making it all happen here in Almaquis County. LansingIowa.com. If you want to find out more about the Safe House Saloon, Nick, where should we find it?
Facebook is the best place to go, but we also have a website at thesafehousesaloon.com.
Love that. And Melissa, for you, Simply Salon, right?
Yep. There's a booking site off of that Facebook page, so you can find my booking site and look at what I offer.
Love it. Thank you both so much for taking time out of the day to be here. We appreciate it. Appreciate all you do in Lansing, and I'll be seeing you both soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Rhymes with Lansing. It's a companion podcast project of Inspired Media. We're bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series. Being recorded at The Works in downtown Lansing. Start planning your trip. LansingIowa.com. This series is being made possible by the generous support of the Almaquis Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on Almaquis Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. Find out more about Lansing, Iowa, visit LansingIowa.com. We'll see you again on Rhymes with Lansing. Thanks for tuning in.